This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome, welcome to another edition of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Ulscher, along with the talented and lovely Mary Goulet.
Here I am.
How are you, Mary Goulet?
Doing well.
I was doing well.
Until?
Until I turn on the news. I got to get rid of my television. I think that's the plan. I'm just going to get rid of the television or the radio or the... I'm just going to...
Put your phone down.
I know. Just got to get rid of the internet is the death of us all. I think we, in one way or another, have really hurt ourselves with this whole internet thing. So that's we're gonna have to figure out how to eliminate the internet from our lives now that we figured out how to put it in every element of our life everywhere whatsoever.
You so, can't run, you can't hide, you can't do it. I mean,
well,
no matter
I can.
What you can, but
my sister doesn't even own a television. My sister doesn't even have a, you know, she doesn't have a cell phone. She's just like,
I don't trust people like that.
Yeah, you know. And that's probably why we haven't spoken for 7 years. But
well,
you
because
know.
She doesn't have a phone.
Or there's that. All right, so check this out. You know why I'm sad, though?
Oh, I didn't know you were sad.
Well, I can't say I'm exactly sad, but I'm a little perturbed.
Whoa, that's definitely different than sad. Why?
Because I have to admit that I have spent more than my fair share of eating sandwiches at Subway.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten at Subway?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know the big fat guy that's no longer fat?
Jared,
yeah. And did you hear what's going on with Jared?
He got fat?
Well, he's kind of... No, he didn't get... Well, yeah, he may have gotten fatter than he was at his lowest point there. He got... Well, let's just say that he hasn't been convicted or arrested yet, but they raided his house in Indiana on, shall we just say, suspicions... Of harboring footlongs, yes.
And Lay's potato chips on the side.
And this is no laughing matter. So
sorry.
let's get
all
serious,
right.
Mary. But basically, let's just say they searched his home in connection with a child pornography investigation.
Oh, come on.
I know, right? It's like, where is the world going? If we can't trust Jared.
How did they get tipped off on that?
Well, see, now there's another interesting, really interesting question. And on the last program, we were talking about reinventing healthcare. And, you know, of course, Big Brother being the government, and I don't want to say sticking its nose where it doesn't belong, but certainly getting involved in areas that are perhaps questionable. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting by any stretch of the imagination that this would be one of those scenarios. I mean, certainly we should be pursuing those who are sick in their minds and dealing with child
yeah,
pornography stuff.
Exactly.
But at the same token, it begs the question of how did they know? Which is exactly what you're saying, right? Which is how did they know? And interestingly enough, you know, when they invaded his home, and that's literally what I would call it. I mean, they kind of broke down
the doors, and
invaded his home in Zionsville, Indiana. That might have been just a clue right there, by the way. But the interesting thing was that it wasn't just the... And I'm going to read these off to you because I thought it was pretty darn interesting.
Well, if I can interject...
Okay, well, see, Wade has to jump
has
in the
to.
Room
okay.
here.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't necessarily know what I'm talking about, but I've seen a little bit of this stuff. It may have been an employee of Jared's.
See, that's what I'm saying, right?
And so it may not be him directly. So just to make
that clarification.
Boy,
you just come running in, jump on the mic with this defense for Jared.
You know, and so that's exactly what people are talking about now is, you know, what else is this fat boy who's skinny now going to do, right? I mean, his career is toast. He has no talent. He eats subs. That's like his talent. He learned how to eat a sub that helped him lose weight. So no one's going to touch this guy. No one's going to touch this guy with a 10-foot pole, right? I mean, let alone a 10-foot Irishman, but, you know.
So there may be issues, but just, again, for the maximum disclosure or whatever, just so we don't...
Why are you chiming in on this?
Do you have child porn?
Yeah,
Wait, and let me get this straight. Wait, it's not your porn. It's Richard's porn. Yeah, that's what it is, right? Is Richard still over there? No, he's not over there.
No, seriously, like, did you read something about this?
Oh, just, you know, as I browse around the internet, you see little things here and there. If I've got like 3 minutes to kill,
well, that was the problem. Is Jared was seeing lots of little things here and there. That was the issue.
I didn't say anything, Wade.
No. And so, being I was getting your guests queued up,
yes,
I just kind of overheard the discussion and just wanted to add that.
All right, in defense of Jared, he's not guilty until proven
or something. Something.
And just with the internet out there. Well, as I believe...
No, technically, the internet is in here.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said, you can't trust everything you see on the internet. And so we just have to keep that in mind.
I just read that on Facebook. It said, you can't believe every quote that you read on the internet to know if it's true. Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, well, and Wade's leaving. You jumped in. All right, well, thanks for jumping in on that, Wade. So anyway, long story short, but did you... So when they broke down his door and, like, you know, went in there for this whole raid, they said that the United States Postal Service was involved in the raid. Am I missing something? Do they have USPS police? Or
they do for,
like,
things, of course, going through the mail. I don't know if it's also...
But I didn't know they had their own police, like, force. Like,
oh, I think they absolutely do.
So they have like...
They have their...
The postal police?
Yes.
All right, so check it out. So, like, if you're going to... So if you graduate with a degree in criminal justice, and you're thinking, I'm going to go out and I am going to save the world, I am going to, you know, get rid of evil, where does the Postal Service police kind of fall on that list? Like, okay, so...
Or the bottom.
All right, so we didn't make it to the CIA. I didn't pass that test. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, they wouldn't
pass.
Have me. Yeah, I tried doing the Department of Homeland Security and couldn't make that. Tried being the county sheriff. That didn't work. Tried working for the municipality.
Right. That didn't work.
Yeah, Paul Blart has my job, so that didn't work. So, I think I'm going to go find a gig at the Postal Police. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you learn something new absolutely every day. And
yeah. Do you ever walk into certain places and you're like, I wonder how it would be to be here 8 hours a day?
I never wonder that. You know why? Because I would kill myself if I, like, I mean, like, literally the reason why I became an entrepreneur and the reason why I do what I do is so that I don't have to be in the same place all day long. But you know what I end up doing with my career? I sit at my fucking desk all day long.
I totally get it. So I was in the grocery store and I was going over to the yogurt section and the gal was loading and I kind of caught her talking to herself and she was kind of crabby. And so we were just talking. She goes, gosh, you know, I hope I can retire in 5 years. I go, well, how long have you been working here? And she's loading yogurt.
Ooh.
35 years.
35 years of
the
loading
grocery
yogurt.
Store. Yes. 35 years. And I'll be like, hey, job security, man. She's got a job.
And I'm sure that the benefits, the benefits has got to be off the hook. You know, I mean, they give you the 2-day-old bread, you know, they give you the donuts that
I
are like,
know. I
you know,
see
are
them
like
going in line right in front of me or right behind me when they're buying the snack or something.
They get the discount on SpaghettiOs.
But
how
anyway,
bad could that be?
I agree. I'm not very good at staying in one place.
All right. You know who's really good at not staying in one place? See, this is radio magic right here. It's our guest today,
yay,
who I'm really, like, super excited to have on, by the way. And we have to totally, like, figure this out.
Did you read part of his bio?
I've read a lot about this gentleman.
The Secret Service pounding down his door.
You know, it's going to get pretty interesting here. So we've got Sir John Hargrave coming on, and it's going to be pretty interesting as we get into, we're just going to get into a whole new mindset here as we... what should we call it? How about this? We are going to be reinventing mind hacking. How about that?
Genius title.
Yeah, genius title. You know, I mean, it's easy. You get somebody's book and you and you turn it into a show name. So, yeah, he's got a new book coming out called Mind Hacking. And I love this because he describes it as a self-help book.
What's the tagline?
Well, there's a good question. We're going to have to pull up the book, and I know it's soon to be released. We got to, you know, find that on Amazon. But, but I bet you there's someone who could tell us a lot about that book, and that would be the author himself who will be joining us. So if you're here with us live, and, you know, hopefully you are, because the other choice would be you're here with us dead. So you couldn't call.
Oh, you could be listening on iTunes.
Yeah, I guess that is true. All right, that's true. You could be listening to the podcast, so don't call because the show is long over. But if you are listening live right now, and you're interested in joining in on the conversation as we move forward here into things other than Jared and child pornography, the phone number is 866-977-2346, and you'll hit number one. Again, that's 866-977-2346. And you will hit number one to join us here on Reinvention Radio. Now, one of the things that I've always been curious about is, and this is like, you know how you have a certain list of like goals and aspirations and those things you want to accomplish in your life? I want to be knighted.
Okay.
So,
with the sword on the shoulders.
Well, evidently, right? That's the only way you get the sir thing going. So
they're not going to do that here in America.
I got to figure out how Mr. Hargrave did, because somehow our next guest
he's
got
about the
sir. Yeah, he's got sir in front of it.
Unless he's just very formal, and then he can call me Miss.
So
Miss Mary.
That's part of what I want to find out as well, is how you get to have the sir in front of your name. Like who do I have to,
maybe,
you know,
does David
please?
Hasselhoff one of those too?
Sir David Hasselhoff. Actually, you're right? Sir Elton John, Sir David. All right, we'll get to that right after the break, as we bring on Sir John Hargrave, the author of the soon-to-be-released Mind Hacking. We'll be right back with Reinvention Radio.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Oh, man, this is going to be fun. Let's just bring John on, like, immediately, because he's been waiting so patiently. How you doing, John? Or do I have to call you sir?
You can call me Sir John or just John. We're friends.
So how did you get the name? We all have to know.
How did you get the name John? Probably from his mother.
No, sir.
Oh.
Yeah, Sir my father's name is actually John, so it wasn't a big stretch for them.
Yeah. Okay, so literally, like, you got the knighted, like, with the sword thing and all that, or are you just kind of added just for, like, you know, creative sake?
The story is that I wrote the Queen of England a few years back, and I said, Your Majesty, I would like to be knighted, because I just thought Sir John Hargrave sounded so much classier, don't you?
It's a lot classier than Dr. John Hargrave, I got to tell you.
Then I'm Lady Mary Goulet. Or Duchess Mary.
I couldn't even tell you what my wife would put in front of my name would not be either a sir or mister. That fucking Steve. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you wrote to the Queen.
Yeah, so the Queen says, well, to be knighted, you have to do something honorable. I was like, well, that's a lot of work.
Did you read your bio?
I went down to my local county courthouse and found out you can get your name legally changed. You pay them a small fee, go before a judge, and here I am today, Sir John Hargrave. And, you know, people take me a lot more seriously now with the sir in front.
I could see so. Yeah, all right. So for all of you who've ever wanted to be knighted, now you know all you have to do. Write a letter and do something honorable. So there you go. All right. Well, I will be back next week.
I think he just went down to the courthouse and paid a fee and and had it changed.
Or that. Yeah. You know, yeah, or that. All right, so next week you can refer to me as Sir Steve Holscher or something of that nature. Okay, so, man, all right, lots to cover here today, man. Obviously, the whole concept of mind hacking is something that is pretty darn interesting. But you've done a lot of pretty interesting things in your career as well. And so you take us kind of back through a little bit of the who do you want people to know you as? Because you got a lot of different things that that you've gone through over your career.
Yeah, I have. I have. Started out as a humor writer, then an internet publisher. I run my own company now, the internet marketing company Media Shower. But I'd really like to be known as a mind hacker. That is the thing that I think has the most potential to really change the minds of your listeners and of the world. And mind hacking is really about reprogramming your brain. Really about changing what goes on in your brain, just like you'd reprogram a computer. And being a geek growing up around computers and doing all this work on the web, it really gave me a great model for learning how to hack my own mind and teach others to do the same.
Mm-hmm. So take us back through some of the hacks that you've had to really incorporate into your own life, because, you know, you've got some pretty interesting stories, including, let's just call it what it is, you know, I mean, my identity theft, or at least taking out credit cards and other people's names, including the president, or I guess he was going to be president before you took out that card. Take us back through when the Secret Service broke down the door and said, we got to talk.
Well, you're exaggerating a little bit, but the Secret Service did show up. It was actually a prank or a stunt that I was doing for our humor website at the time, and the idea was to get a credit card in a celebrity's name. It was actually really easy. This was a legitimate credit card, but it was hooked up to my credit card account, so you could call up the credit card company and say, I want to add an extra card holder. So the stunt was to get one in Barack Obama's name, who at that point was being nominated for the Democratic nominee. Mm-hmm. And the Secret Service came in, and I realized that day, sitting there in my living room with the Secret Service, that maybe something in my life wasn't going so well.
You weren't on your way to being named Sir.
Exactly.
There were other things that may have been put in front of your name, but yeah, I got it. So you realized that, and what happened?
Yeah, so I realized that a lot of it had to do with I'm also an alcoholic, and this was about 8 years ago. I've been sober since then, but I realized a lot of this was due to my dependence on alcohol and drugs. And so getting sober over the next few years and really learning to hack my mind, because when you're trying to get sober or really overturn any habit or reinvent your life, you'll see that your mind is one of the biggest things that you have to manage. Your mind is the thing that stands in your way. And so what I learned to do gradually was develop a series of these hacks, meaning tips or techniques or tricks to manage my mind so that I could change my life in from this kind of negative spiral into a positive spiral of success.
Okay, so there are a couple of questions for you. First and foremost, it's not more fun being sober, is it? I mean, like, given the choices, I mean, I've done plenty of drinking and plenty of drugs, as we've covered in this show over
too
the years.
Times.
And is sobriety worth it? I mean, like, from your perspective, has it really, like, you're not having as much fun as you used to, correct?
Hey, let me tell you something. One of the things that you have to manage at the beginning is your mind telling you you're never going to have fun again. That's what your mind says. And in fact, that night, as I was throwing away all my alcohol into a garbage dumpster, the thing that kept repeating in my mind was, this is it. This is the end of your life. Think of all the good times you've had with all these things. You're insane. What are you, crazy? And what I had to do was just place that thought on hold. I literally had to focus on the muscle movement of throwing away these bottles into this dumpster. So that was kind of the first hack. But what I learned over the years was that not only could I have fun being sober, I now look at it as like the greatest blessing of my life. I mean, it really is to me the wellspring from which all else flows. It is the foundation upon which my life is built, my sobriety. So I look at it now, like, it's not a matter of fun. It is a matter of I'm so grateful for it. It is like a gift. It's like a precious treasure. So that's what mind hacking does for you. It can go from being a curse to being the greatest blessing.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you, I guess, what you might call hitting bottom, right? I mean, because ultimately, if you're going to quit, you got to be pretty low on the totem pole at that point in terms of how you're feeling. So how old were you when you hit that point where you just said, I got to stop all this?
I must have been 38.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right around that 40-year-old kind of mark.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Some people call it a midlife crisis. Other people call it, you know, just like fucking realizing the stuff you did in your 20s, you just can't keep doing when you're older. So there's that. All right. But what I want you to understand is I own liquor.com. So because I own liquor.com, I just can't ever imagine like not drinking in. So for all of you who are considering not drinking because of Sir John Hargrave's story, we would ask you just to take that with a grain of salt. You can still have plenty of fun. You can still enjoy your life by going to liquor.com. Okay, so I just had to get that out of the way there. All right, so there's people right now who
shameless
plug, exactly. So there's people right now who are probably thinking like, okay, you're not really doing anything but giving a different name to what so many of us already do on a consistent basis, which is we just become cognizant of our thoughts. And it's if you kind of go back to that Jack Canfield, the success principles. He's got the event plus response equals outcome, right? So it's that equation, and it's difficult to do, but ostensibly that's kind of what life is all about. You're given an event, you respond to it however you respond, and the outcome that you get is the outcome that you created. So how does mind hacking differ from anything that, you know, people are frankly already doing or are already aware of?
My publisher said, you know, there's really only one self-help book in the world, and everybody just rewrites it in different ways. So I think that it's true. A lot of this wisdom in here comes to us from ancient times, from Plato, from Buddha, and so forth. However, there is something new. And what's new is that we have a new model of the world, a new model of the world. So if you look now at our everyday life, we all have technological gadgets. We have screens in front of us all the time. And if you think about the world of the screen, the world that's inside your computer, you realize that that world is not real in the same way the physical universe is real, right? It's like a sort of its own thing. It's cyberspace, did I use that word?
It's true.
It's something that's different, a world. However, it has reality. It has reality because we're all using that all the time. Like, I'm bathed in email all day long. So it's real, and yet it's not real. Our minds are the same way. Our minds have a reality to them because our minds are the foundation upon which our lives are built. Everything springs from the mind. And yet, at the same time, the mind is not real in the way that our physical universe is real. And so by looking at computers and thinking about how computers work, we can then start to look at how our minds work, and we can use that as a very helpful model. And in the same way we can reprogram computers, like a developer reprograms code or finds bugs in a program and then reprograms it, we can do the same with our minds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. And I think a lot of people were not aware of our bodies, because our bodies send out signals when we're stressed, when we're happy, and we, excuse me, get stuck in our heads and start overthinking things. And so I love your quick reference page.
Yeah, and we can run down some of that, obviously, because there's a lot of really good stuff there. And from my perspective, this is probably the most important topic that we're going to cover for quite some time here, because if we can get control of our minds, we can literally create anything that we want in our lives. So we will be right back with Sir John Hargrave and more Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Hanging out here with...
Yeah,
Mary.
Log on to Periscope. We're doing Periscope. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, we are live on Periscope, and I have to admit that I... you know, we were talking about technology and all that fun stuff in our last segment here, and I have to readily admit that I am no expert when it comes to Periscope.
It's so new.
It is so new. So one of the things that, you know, I was thinking about before the show today, Mary, you know, and it gets me in a lot of trouble, but Mary, I mean, if you suddenly inherited a large sum, let's say $50 million, what experience would you buy?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, but John, what experience would you buy?
I just don't need that much money. I just don't need that
much. It's one of John's questions. So,
yeah,
I know. All right, John, when you thought of this, what would you buy with $50 million?
The moon.
Well,
God's going to sell it for a little more than 50.
I don't know. You could probably pick it up for cheaper than that, because every time SpaceX tries to go up to it, it keeps blowing up. So, I mean, you know.
That's what I say.
You would never be able to visit.
I would get a SpaceX rocket, I would go up there, and I would just plant a flag. Mine, the moon. There you go.
Sir John Hargrave's
moon. Exactly. Although you probably have your own moon you've been showing for a while. But all right, so you have nothing, Mary, then. If you had a large inheritance, there'd be nothing that you would buy. There's got to be something.
Well, no. I mean, of course, pay off the house and the debt and put money away for the kids.
Got
and
it.
Not let them know I have that much money.
Ooh, that's
girls.
Good. Yeah, nothing like a trust factor between parent and child. All right, so, John, if you outsmarted a genie, what would you ask for?
I would ask for a million wishes, but no loopholes. No loopholes. The genies always find the loophole.
Like
so
the,
what I might possibly ask for is a genie lawyer somehow get me a million wishes without the genie wiggling out of it somehow.
Did you see that commercial? It says the genie pops up and the guy is like, oh, what do you want? And he goes, $1 million. And then all these...
We give them like donkeys or something?
Yeah,
or
all these... literally the animal
deer.
The deer bucks.
Yeah.
He's got $1 million.
You see how the city boy interprets that? A buck is a donkey. you can see how often I get out to the country. All right, so we're talking about mind hacking today with Sir John Hargrave. And I got to tell you, man, this quick reference chart that you have here is just too damn funny. So how long did it take you to write this book? Is this something you've had kind of in the back of your mind for a long time, or is this something you really just sat down and kind of banged out in just a couple of weeks here? Because I could see it going either way. It either took you a really long time to write this book, or you just knocked it out in a couple of weeks.
No, it took a long time. I would say that it's, you know, again, it really started 8 years ago with the seeds of that story we shared. But, you know, the actual writing proper took several years. Collecting these hacks or these actual techniques or tricks that you're talking about in the quick reference guide, you know, testing those out with people and making sure that they actually work for the majority of people who try them, that was one of the hardest things. We really wanted it to be like a user manual for the mind.
So you've got something here which is called the Illuminati, which I like, because those are the people who, like, chase you on motorcycles and want to take your picture, and that's what you're talking about, right?
No. So...
That would be the paparazzi.
Oh, Illuminati paparazzi. Yeah, see, it's all the Italian words, Mary.
We're just always
you're Italian, right?
No, I'm French.
See, exactly. You know this. All right, so what exactly does this mean? Because I'm going through some of this stuff, and I'm thinking, like, all right, I want to hack my mind. Let's help the listeners hack their minds. And obviously, you've got some tips, and you've got some strategies here. You know, a lot of funny names, of course. You've got Squirrel, which, you know, came from Up and that sort of thing, which is awesome that you referenced that. But I gotta ask about two of them. One of course, is the Illuminati, and then you're going to have to tell me more about the third nipple. But let's start with the Illuminati.
Yeah, sure. So one of the beginning hacks that we encourage people to do, or the habits to put into their lives, is what we call Jedi training. And you might also think of it as concentration training. You might know it as meditation or mindfulness, but it's really concentration training. In the morning, you spend 30 minutes, 20, 30 minutes, focusing on your breath. So you spend a few minutes just relaxing your body, and then after that, you just focus on your breath. But we kind of put it on its head by gamifying it. So every time you notice your mind wandering, you award yourself a point. We call it an awareness point. And you keep track of your score, and you record your score each day. And the goal is to watch your score go down. We have an app that you can track all of this. And by doing that, there's all kinds of published research that shows that not only does it make you more focused, does it improve your energy and clarity of mind, it also makes you physically healthier, it makes your relationships better, and so forth. So to mix that up, to keep it interesting, we have variations on that basic concentration game. So one of them is the Illuminati, which is instead of focusing on your breath, you just focus on a space in the center of your forehead. That's where your third eye would be, like the eye on the dollar bill, the Illuminati symbol. And another one is the third nipple, where you focus on the point between your breasts on your chest. And again, that's traditionally in meditation, kind of the region of the heart, but that's the place where you focus your attention during that exercise.
Okay, got it. Or as my little men call it, your moobs, if you're a man. It's your moobs over there, right? In between.
Your moobies.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let me ask you this, because a lot of the time we perform at our best when we are under pressure, right? And we allow sort of the stressors of life to move us towards our destination, whatever that destination might be. You're suggesting here that we kind of hack that process and take more control. What about sort of the organic approach to just letting life kind of be and react to it accordingly? What's your take on that?
Well, that's not what the research shows. So we have everything in the book we back up with some kind of published research or study. And so the concentration exercise, the concentration training, we have at least a dozen different published studies that show that that kind of training actually gives you more clarity of mind and more focus so that you can make critical decisions throughout the day. So while you're correct that at times when we're under stress, that may motivate us or compel us into action, what the research shows is that when we've done this kind of training, we will be better equipped to make decisions in the heat of those moments.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this, because, you know, what I have found is that there is, you know, there's obviously games that we play. I mean, we play them with ourselves, we play them with others, and it's just the nature of kind of this you know, it, as you taught, you know, you said it's sort of gamifying. I mean, but we've been kind of taught to gamify life, and it almost sounds like you're asking us to strip down to the core of who we really are and just get more aware of what is true and what is sort of, fallacious in scope, right? In other words, how do you delineate between when something is in fact reality and when it's just your fear or what you perceive to be reality?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, the mind hacking program, if you think of it in kind of three steps, the first step is becoming aware of your mind. That's what we've been talking about. The second step is debugging your faulty code loops, as we call them. So it's really looking for the mental programming that's running incorrectly. And the best way to find those is to look for areas of pain in your life, so areas of difficulty where things aren't going well, and then kind of debugging those back to their root source. I used to feel very uncomfortable around people, like just talking with people. I would feel very sort of self-conscious and nervous. And as I was talking with them, I'd constantly be thinking, like, am I standing up straight, or do I have a piece of kale in my teeth? And then over time, I realized, listen, that's a faulty loop. That's a fear or kind of a bad loop that I want to reprogram. And so I developed this new loop, which was just, I'm good with people. That's it. Just, I'm good with people. Then when I started talking with people and started becoming aware of that negative loop going through my mind, I just reprogrammed. I would just tell myself, hey, I'm good with people. And over time, you know what? I actually kind of became good with people. So It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy when you do this stuff. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and also it's being aware of your personality, your habits, and wearing new grooves in your brain to kind of like expand, because we're very habitual as humans.
Yes.
And one of the things that I want to kind of go ahead and do here, because you've got so much in this book, which, you know, I could see how this would be completely beneficial in my life. Of course, I won't incorporate any of it, but I mean, I could see how it would be completely beneficial for those that do, especially, you know, kind of like the gamification, right? I mean, you talked about, you know, this alien blaster thing, right? Whenever you notice a thought, to mentally say thought. You know, which, as you said, disintegrates the alien with a hydrogen ion, you know, particle blaster. I mean, obviously that gets a little funky,
wow.
But
sounds like a guy wrote that.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking probably, but you know, there's a lot of really practical tips and tools and strategies here that I want to cover. But really quick before we hit this this break, how do people find out more information about this book?
Yeah, well, you can pre-order it from Amazon. It's going to be available in bookstores everywhere in January 2016. And in the meantime, you can download a preview copy of the book in its entirety at mindhacky.ng. That's www.mindhacky.ng, .com. Mindhacking with a .ng.
Gotcha. So mindhacky.ng.
Is this like the galley version of it?
Yeah, not only it's the whole book, but you know, it's sort of like a preview copy. So, awesome. We'll take a look at that on the break as well, because I know there's going to be some questions that are going to come up here. And what I want to make sure we do is, in this final break, I want to make sure we cover the five whys, the slow jam, and the rise and smile. We'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. We're talking to Sir John Hargrave, author of the book Mind Hacking, a how-to manual for hacking your head. And if you're curious about how to hack your head and you want to join in on the conversation,
just have a visual of like banging my head against the wall,
which I did before we came on the air, 866 877-2346 and hit number one. Again, that's 866-977-2346. And there's been some questions online, Periscope, Twitter, etc., about, you know, where is this quick reference thing that we keep talking about? And if you go to Mind Hacking, again, that's mindhacki.ng, and you click on Read, which will be right there on the bottom of the left side of the page there, you will see number 5, which is called the Quick Reference. So you can check it out there. And and just out of curiosity, did Simon & Schuster pay you for this book, man, or how did that work out?
Yeah, we're trying an interesting experience with this. So we basically are treating it like a traditional published book. It'll hit bookstores in January 2016. But we're open sourcing it. In other words, we have made the entire book available for free. And it has made not only the finished book so much better, because we've had thousands of beta testers go through this program, but also it's really in the spirit of, you know, open source software development. So I give them credit for trying something new. It's
okay,
a bold experiment.
Yes, it is. Is it a new imprint that, and you're doing it strictly with Amazon, is giving it away for free?
Nope, this is a traditional book that's being published by their excellent Gallery Books imprint, but it's a new model that we're...
Yeah, I haven't heard of the Gallery. My book was Simon Schuster Free Press.
Mm-hmm. So John, yeah, I have to ask you why. Why did you choose to go down that road?
Well, first of all, there's a big part of the book is about the philosophy of making things free. So this is not a technique that we're patenting and trademarking, because we believe the best technologies are created and then given away to the world to improve and make better.
Mm-hmm. But
so
why is that, do you think?
It has to do with humanity's inherent goodness. And if you don't believe that, you just have to look at something like Wikipedia, which is just the greatest reference work ever, and it's completely free, and it's really done completely by unpaid volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just a tremendous work,
why do you think people are willing to do that and take their time and contribute?
They're not getting paid.
Yeah, so why?
Yeah, because people understand that they have an ability to make a positive difference in something they care about. And with Mind Hacking, we're essentially doing the same thing for self-improvement. It's like a crowdsourced self-improvement program. We're building, with the Mind Hacking movement, a science of self-improvement.
So do you have a community, like a blog or a forum, where people can kind of Wikipediaize your Mind Hacking?
Yeah, so you can download the app at mindhacky.ng, and on there you can interact with the community, the other people who are going through the 21-day program, give shout-outs, give props to other members of the community, and help the movement grow. Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose 21 days?
It takes 21 days to change a habit. Sorry.
Because it sounds good in a subtitle.
Exactly. And by the way, just in case you didn't catch all of that, I have been debugging you. I just asked you 5 whys. So
he's so clever.
I was asking why.
He's pointing at the computer
5 times until I got to the root or roots of my problem thinking. So
your problem thinking, not
why?
His.
But why?
Oh my gosh!
I could do that. I'm just told.
Created
a
monster.
I know.
John.
I'm going to do 5 whys with my kids when I get home. They're going to.
Oh,
can I play on the computer? Why? Because I really want to see it. Why? I'm just 5. So 5 is
you
the magic number.
You are going
number.
To be so annoying.
Yeah, I don't think that would be any different than any other.
You're supposed to ask yourself the 5 whys, not someone else.
Well, that's.
Debug
it's
yourself.
Myself? Oh, see, I got this all wrong. I'm trying to mind hack other people. Is that not how this works? John, I thought that we were mind hacking other people.
That's... No. It's your own mind, Steve. But we could hack your mind for you, if you like.
How much time do we have?
We don't have to go that deep.
We just spent 50 minutes on this, and this whole time I'm trying to hack other people's minds. See? We're going to have John back for another show. All right, so these names are great. The Slow Jam. You just got to take me through that. Because when I think of slow jam, like, I think of, like, you know, Candlelight.
Oh.
Well, no. I mean, so there we go. So when you think of slow jams, you think of Eddie Vedder. I'm
there you
scared
go. That's
of that.
Exactly. It.
Yeah, when I think of slow jams, I'm thinking, like, Candlelight and soft music and Barry White, you know, just kind of in the background getting my woman ready. So what do you mean by slow jam?
Well, that goes back to the concentration exercise, the daily mind training we talked about in the last segment. And when you are relaxing your body, it helps to actually visualize yourself in a slow jam. And basically the way it works is as you're inhaling love, and then as you're exhaling, you're just picturing yourself sort of relaxing, or it might be like a saxophone groove or like a bubble bath. Mm-hmm. But it really does help get yourself into that state, the state of decreased brainwave frequency by imagining yourself in those calming, relaxing situations.
All right, so you're laughing at this stuff too. So you don't really believe any of this. This is just kind of fun banter, right?
Shh, his publisher's listening.
Not only do I believe it, I practice it every day without fail. I did it just this morning.
So,
my concentration training.
And I can see how some of this, you know, would definitely be of benefit. But how hard is it to do this, like, in real time? Does it become just sort of like a, you know, common place practice for you? Or, I mean, because it seems like you really got to dig deep and gain that awareness in a way that I guess almost becomes, you know, kind of time consuming. No, how easy is this stuff to implement?
Now, let me ask you something. When Columbus set off for the New World, did he say to himself, boy, this is really time consuming. This is a lot of work. I could probably just stay here and read. And it would be a lot easier. Nobody would die.
No, I know exactly.
I wouldn't have to raise all the money.
Here's what Columbus was thinking. He was thinking, I'm going to take some of these folks who, you know, have kind of been on my nerves for the last 10, 15 years, and I'm going to take them to a place where they're going to get scurvy. That's like,
nice.
I've heard of this thing. I'm going to give these people scurvy. That's what Columbus was thinking.
Okay, you need to mind hack that.
Okay, so ostensibly,
John.
All right, so Columbus was thinking I should stay home and read, but he was not thinking that. So take me back to how that relates to how difficult
Columbus
this is.
Columbus was an explorer, and when we think of these great explorers, what did they do? But they basically helped us map the world, the physical world. Now the physical world has been mapped, and the next frontier for those of us who are courageous enough to do it is our own minds. That is the place of unabounded mystery. And all you have to do is start working on some of these things. Start trying some of these mind games in the book, these hacks,
mm-hmm.
and you'll quickly see that your mind is this vast, unexplored country with amazing potential.
And when we're not doing what you're suggesting or paying attention to it on some level, it's running amok.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing all sorts of crazy chaos in our daily lives with other people, with our businesses, all sorts of stuff that we just don't realize that we could stop.
Yep. And as we look to wrap here, again, check out Mind Hacking at mindhacki.ng to learn more about John's book and his work. And real quick, 30 seconds here, John, if you could get people started with just one thing, what would you tell them to do?
There's a mind game early in the book called What Was My Mind Just Thinking? And it's so simple. All you have to do for the rest of the day today is ask yourself as many times as possible, what was my mind just thinking? That's
mm-hmm.
it.
That's
Give yourself
cool.
a point every time you remember to ask, what was my mind just thinking? And by doing that, you start to develop a sense of you and your mind. You are separate from your mind. You are not your mind.
Nice.
You don't have to believe everything your mind thinks.
Awesome. Well,
great.
John, really appreciate having you on. And go check out Mind Hacking. It's going to be a great book, and it'll be out very, very soon. We will talk to you on the next episode of Reinvention Radio. See you later, Mary.
See ya. Have a great week.
You just got dismantled.
Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olshan, visit reinventionradio.com.